Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear once more the words from our gospel reading. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And now for the rest of the story. These are the famous words of radio broadcaster Paul Harvey from 1976 to the year 2009. On ABC Radio, the rest of the story consisted of stories that were composed of little-known facts on a variety of subjects with some key element, usually the name of a well-known person, and that was held right until the very end. The broadcasts always concluded with a variation on this same tagline. And now you know the rest of the story. Today, on Epiphany, we get to hear the rest of the story. We just celebrated Christmas. Yeah, that was a pretty big deal. We celebrated Christmas, and in reality, we are now at the very end of the Christmas season. We're going to start the season of Epiphany. You heard of the 12 days of Christmas. Those were finally now complete. We just celebrated Christmas, but the story is actually far from being told. Today, we get to hear the complete Christmas story. Now, what do you mean, maybe by complete, I should say? You might think, I thought Christmas was over a long time ago. They stopped playing the music on the radio. All the discounts are at the stores. Christmas is over. I thought Christmas is over once Jesus is born and the shepherds appear. Well, no, not quite. You see, Christmas means very little if that baby born in the manger is only known to a few people in a field. It would have very little significance for you and I if Christmas, the day Jesus was born, was all said and done, when it became a silent night. You see, Christmas is complete now, today, on Epiphany, because baby Jesus is meeting a man named Simeon. Christmas is complete, even though the wise men have finally just showed up after a long time. Christmas is complete because Christmas finally is revealed to you what happened. And it all starts with this old man in the temple named Simeon. And it starts with his words, his amazing words. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation and a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now you might have heard similar words like these before, and if you haven't, you're going to at the very end of the service. These are words that are often spoken in a liturgy, the part of a Christian service. They're called the Nunc Dimittis. Just another fancy way of saying the Song of Simeon. And we usually only sing it right after we celebrate and eat the Lord's Supper. Because there we get to see Jesus. But now let's maybe paint a bigger scene for you a little bit here. Let's find out why, in fact, these are amazing words. When Jesus was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph, his parents, made the short trip from Bethlehem to Jerusalem for what is called the purification of Mary and the presentation of the child in the temple. Now, these are some Old Testament, these are some Jewish laws. These two acts seem kind of strange to us today. When a mother gives birth today, she only might not be in the neonatal center of a hospital for maybe a day or two. For first century Jews, a mother had to go through 40 days, a period considered of a cleansing period for a mother to be physically pure enough to present her child. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. The law of the purification of a mother is found in the Old Testament book of Leviticus chapter 12. It was something that the Jews continued to follow. As part of the law, a sacrifice must also be made, an offering, if you will. Now, if a poor person couldn't afford the normal offering, say, of a lamb or a gift of money, a very poor person had to bring the next best substitute, a pair of turtle doves. That's where we get that in the famous Christmas song. Now, what's remarkable about this isn't just that Mary is fulfilling this law for Jesus, for God's Son, but she herself is being purified, whom, if you remember, angels already declared, "Greetings, O favored one. You have found favor with God." What's remarkable and ironic is that Mary and Joseph were also, according to the law, required to consecrate to God their firstborn, to remember the Exodus in the Old Testament from Egypt. Now, if the law was obeyed, if a child was not given to the service of the Lord, whatever that is, the parents of a child at the temple needed to redeem him by a payment of 5 shekels, whatever a shekel is. Now, Mary and Joseph did not make this payment. One, because they were pretty dirt poor. And also because Jesus was already consecrated to the Lord in probably the most fullest way possible. So here we have Jesus' parents going to church, if you will, redeeming the Redeemer, and his mother being purified, who is already called holy. Every little act that they would do would prepare Jesus to do the same for the world, to purify and to redeem. But now, when they do this, they meet this old guy, Simeon, an old man who served in the temple, watching and waiting all of his years, finally, for this Old Testament promise to be fulfilled. Seeing the child Jesus, he takes this infant in his arms and praises God, finally. With the eyes of faith, Simeon sees more than a baby in his arms. He sees a Savior dying on the cross. He sees salvation for all people, both Israelite and Gentile, Jew and non-Jew. To these words, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, to the nations, to you. Mary and Joseph are amazed. And so are we, and so should we be. These are pretty amazing words if you break them down. Christmas is complete here because we now get to see how God planned to save not just the Israelites of old. Christmas is complete, finally, now because we get to see how God planned to save you and me and all Gentiles, to save Americans living in 2017. He planned this. And now we get to finally see how God and his love expands to not just Jews, to everybody. And that's what Christmas is actually completely about. How God wanted you. He was not ashamed to do anything or everything possible to make that happen. Even to allow himself, how the Son of God was born in a feeding trough in the middle of nowhere, just so that he could be born in the world to save you. He would do anything for you. And he still does. That's why Epiphany is so wonderful, that God is finally being revealed. The angels in heaven did not turn 3 shades of red when God is born as a baby. They were not embarrassed. They sing glory to God in the highest, whose birth room smells of manure and hay. There lies the swaddled Creator, all wrapped up in the things of creation. Infant holy, yet infant lowly. A diapered divinity. And it's all for you. You and I are dead wrong if we think that all this is beneath God, the maker of heaven and earth. The birth of Jesus, the birth of this God-man is, it's not so much that God is made small, but it's really that man is being made big. This God who made man in his own image outdoes himself. He makes himself into his own image. Jesus becomes what you are, a woman's child, that he might make you what he is, a son of the Father. He becomes no less, but we infinitely become more in him. Within the womb of Mary, something new happens. A woman is pregnant with God, by God, for us, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus issues forth as the first man of a new race. When Jesus is born, that's really when we can get to say that the world really begins, when we know what is going on. That's why the Romans decided to start the calendar. The race, this race, calls God Father and means it. For in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You see, Christmas is complete because we get to see how we need God. We needed God to be born into our world because he was the only one that was going to set it right. If you look through the whole Old Testament, they were constantly trying to make God happy, appease him, sacrificing, obeying laws. They couldn't do it. Neither could we. So God has to do it himself. This is what we need, redemption. This is what we need, adoption. We don't need a God who strokes our ego with applause from on high when we do good. We don't need a deadbeat deity who's so busy caring for his universe that he shows no concern when his children go astray. We don't need a God for whom nothing matters more than to save you. We need that. We need a God that wants to adopt you as his own flesh and blood. You need a God who cares enough to tell you the truth and to say, apart from me, you are depraved, dead, and even damned. But you're not apart from me. You're mine, and I love you. I want you. I desire for you to be my child more than anything else. So I have done everything necessary for you to be mine. This is what's going on in Christmas. And that's why Christmas is now complete, because we actually get to know this for ourselves. This is the God made man that you and I need. He is the Lord that we have still today. He gives purity to the depraved, life to the dead, salvation to you and to me who are all under hell's thumb. He did not have to come to save the trees or the spotted owl or the endangered species. He's not born to rid the world of hunger or stop the ravages of war. He came to be for every man and every woman what no man or woman could be by themselves. Born under the law, Jesus fulfilled the law that he himself had given. He undone everything that happened wrong in the Garden of Eden. He was the perfect infant, the perfect teenager, and the perfect adult. All for you. He bore your flesh and blood through every stage of life, bearing it to the cross, bearing it out of the grave. And all of it is credited to you. No matter how often or how much we have messed up or have not done our service of being the Christian God wants us to be, because of Jesus, God sees you and sees Jesus. And he sees the wonderful side of you, his creation. You are now a perfect infant. You are now a perfect teenager. You are now a perfect adult. All because of Jesus. For God so loved the world, he strapped the world to the back of Jesus, so that where he went and what he did, you went, and you also did. Jesus comes for all, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Christmas is now complete because we get to know that. The gospel is made full. And it starts with an old man waiting all his life in the temple. So I have a couple questions. We've just started a brand new year. And the blessings of that past year have carried over. The hurts and troubles of the past year have been left behind. But my question is this: are you still bruised and battered by what has happened in the past or the cares of the world? Well, if so, Jesus comes for you. He is the great physician of soul and body. Are you betrayed and abused or divorced or lonely? His advent, his coming is for you too, the faithful bridegroom of the church. Maybe you're rich, maybe you're happy, maybe you're well fed, maybe you are comfortable. Well, Jesus still comes for you too, to show you that true riches and true happiness are only found in him. That's what we celebrate today, Epiphany. Light shining forth. Light being revealed. God being revealed. Jesus being made known to you. And that is what will bring you peace when life throws you curveballs. So that we too can say these same words: Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. We get to say that every day, and especially the day we might die, knowing in full confidence that we don't have anything to worry about because of what Jesus has done. And this is what Simeon was going through. He was ready to die, knowing that he belongs to God, but also knowing that God is not yet done. This same Jesus would come back and redeem him and all creation, even raise the dead. That is why Jesus came from heaven to earth, to let the earth have its way with him, so that Jesus might have his way with you. Now, what is Jesus' way? Jesus' way is life. Jesus came in the world not to perfect the imperfectible, to teach the unknowledgeable. Jesus came to save and raise the dead. You and me, because we needed it. So don't be afraid. For God brings you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born a Savior, God in the flesh, who fills you with life divine. A light of revelation to you and to me, to the nations. A light for all of us. And now you get to know the rest of the story. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith, now into life everlasting. Amen.